Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Legend has it that around 800 years ago, the Pope, which one is a matter of some debate, Boniface the VIII or Benedict the XII, I always get those two confused, wanted to commission a fresco, that is a painting done on a wall or a ceiling that becomes a permanent feature of the plaster, that becomes a part of the architecture. And as such, the Pope, whichever one it was, wanted the best. And having many resources at his disposal, he sent a messenger out to scour the land to find the best artist for this fresco. All the artists, of course, were happy to open up their portfolios at the chance for this auspicious commission. Any one of them wanted to do it, and so they handed over their piece, which was how that messenger found himself one morning, according to the story, in Florence, in the small studio of one Giotto di Bondone, known to posterity as simply Giotto. Only when he was asked for his work, Giotto didn't just pull something off the wall or paint some elaborate piece like all of the other artists had done. Instead, he tried a different approach. Thinking upon the request for just a moment, and with the messenger still looking on, Giotto took out a blank canvas, tied one hand to his side, and with the other, dipped a brush in red paint, and in one fluid motion, drew a perfect circle. Unsure if he was being mocked, the messenger slowly took the painting and placed it among the others. And when the time came, he gave all of the paintings over to the Pope, though he placed Giotto's near the end, unsure of how the Pope might react. As the tale goes, the Pope began to go through each painting, looking at each one, appreciating the details, until he came to Giotto's. At which point he just stopped to stare. Worried, the messenger felt compelled to tell the Pope that Giotto had drawn this circle without even using a compass. At which point the Pope set all other paintings aside and gave Giotto the commission. Such is the power of a perfect circle. Unbroken, without beginning or end, all-encompassing, the circle has long stood in Christian tradition as a symbol of God's perfect love, of God's perfect grace. We even have a few that are in our stained glass windows, as those who have been here before might recognize. Though, just like the Pope, we recognize that it is rare for our human circles to come anywhere close to godly perfection. No, more often than not, the circles we draw, the ones you can see, but especially the ones that we cannot, struggle to get anywhere close to perfection. They are broken or lopsided, or more often than not, too small. Which is why when we catch a glimpse of perfection, when we finally get a chance to see it, we have to pause and really appreciate it. Just like the Pope, we have to pause to marvel at its beauty. The only question is, do any of us really remember what perfection looks like? To be clear, not the kind of unachievable platonic ideal perfection that so many of us waste so much of our lives trying to gain, trying to pine after those, that perfect body, that perfect test, that perfect college, that perfect life, that perfect relationship, that perfect job, that perfect bank account. We know what it's like to pine after that perfection. But the truth is, friends, despite what our social media accounts might tell us, might try to convince us of, that kind of perfection isn't actually real. It is a mirage, tantalizingly close and yet not able to be reached. And the closer we get to it, the more we start to see through it. Only as we know, for some reason, that doesn't stop us from pursuing it. Maybe some of us are there this morning, chasing after that ideal of perfection, one that we know somewhere deep we'll never actually achieve. The good news is there is another way, one that isn't concerned with the perfection of our body, but of our very soul, a perfection of our life. We call it Christian perfection. It's the kind of perfection that John Wesley had in mind when he founded the Methodist movement. It's the aim of every Christian life, what we're all driving towards, which is, of course, perfect love of God and neighbor. That is the kind of perfection that we seek, and the good news is it is within our grasp. That'll take some work to get to. It's hard to picture, isn't it? It's easy to say and hard to picture what perfect love and of God and neighbor might look like. So today we use the image of a circle, the circle of life, if you will, the circle of our lives, which, if we're going to consider how to make them a little more perfect, that is, how to make them a little more loving, ought to begin by considering what we've placed in the center. So, friends, I ask you, what is it that you've placed at the center of your life? What is it that you've oriented your life around? What is it that's right there at the center? It's a good question, isn't it? Sure, it is our circle. For most of us, we would consider ourselves to be at the center of our own circles. But we're not just asking that question. What's at the center of us? Not anatomically speaking, that's clearly the belly button. No, we're talking spiritually, existentially, ontologically. What is at the very core of our being? What is it that is at our center? That's where we often struggle, isn't it? We find those things that we think will ground us, that we think will anchor us in our lives, provide that point at which we can make everything else equidistant, only to find out that when we lean on it, it is not actually as stable as we thought, as so many of us over this last year have discovered. Sometimes the things that we use to anchor our lives don't actually hold us up. What is at the core? Sometimes we confuse the temporal with the eternal, the penultimate with the ultimate. As Christians, of course, we know that we're called to have Christ at our center, that we're called to center ourselves in Christ. Paul Tillich called Jesus Christ the existential center of our being, the existential center of our being, the ground of our very being. Only if we're honest, we're not exactly sure what that looks like. What does it mean to have Christ at our center? There's a whole branch of our faith that would say, well, it means this. You say a prayer, you invite Jesus into your heart, and then you're done. But that doesn't feel quite right to us. There's this whole other branch that would just say, it doesn't matter what you believe, just do good things, which, as we know, sounds good until we really think about it, because we can do really good things for really awful reasons, so that doesn't feel quite right either. The good news is, maybe our scripture lesson for today might help us out, might throw us a bone. We're hearing from John again today, as we have since Easter. So you might need to be reminded one more time that John's is the last gospel written, that is, as late as the early second century. Enough time for Christians to really mess some things up, which, as we know, doesn't take us very long. He was trying to remind them of what this was all about, to get them back to the basics, to recenter those Christians. We can hear it in our passage today as Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." Do we hear what's happening here? God loves Jesus. Jesus loves us. We're called to abide in that kind of love. We can hear the kind of circular nature of it, can't we? God has loved. Now we love because God loved us, right? Abide in my love. And just to close all the dots, to close all the loops here, Jesus clarifies, if you, those who keep my commandments will abide in my love. If we want to know how to abide in Jesus, if we want to know how to have Christ at our center, we need only follow his commandments. And before someone can raise their hand in that upper room, Jesus clarifies even further, so there's no question. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you love one another as I have loved you. Do we hear what's happening? God loves Jesus. Jesus loves us. We ought to love one another because in so doing, it leads us back to God. It brings us full circle. That is what we are called to do. That is who we are as Christians. We're called to have our center in Christ's love made known to us. In Christ's love. Finding our way. We love because God first loved us. Only if we're honest, some of us will struggle our whole lives to really believe that. It starts with recognizing that we are loved. We recognize on this Mother's Day that some people were blessed enough to receive that message from their parent, from their mother, maybe. Or if not, then maybe from a next-door neighbor who served like a grandmother kind of figure. Or maybe from somebody else who cared for us, who reminded us at some point that we were loved, but we know also that that's not all of us. Not everybody has been reminded in their lives that they are worthy of love, that they are in fact loved. So if you are one of those people out there this morning, just in case we have another day go by without you hearing it, you are loved. You're loved. Not because of anything you've done or anything you failed to do, but because of who you are. Some of us will spend our whole lives trying to really believe that. It's not a bad place to start. But if we come to understand that kind of love, then we have a responsibility to share it. Friends, once we've centered ourselves in the promise that we are loved, once we've centered ourselves in Jesus Christ, who's made known that promise that we are loved, then we are called to share it with the world, to take it out and to share it. Then the only question is, how big do we make our circle from there? Which, as we know, is often our biggest problem, isn't it? Jesus, of course, had a very expansive view. He included even our enemies. Us, well, we like to hold off a little. If we think about it like that ripple effect, the concentric circles that go out, most of us are okay with ourselves. Some people just stop there, right? They just love themselves and themselves only. Fortunately, not all of us are like that. We often include at least a couple of other tiers, friends and family, though in which order is hard to say. Day by day, we take it. There is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, but it doesn't stop there. Our circle is called to be a little bit bigger than that, at least as people of faith, though from the very beginning we've struggled with that, haven't we? We heard about it in that passage today from the Acts of the Apostles written by Luke. It tells the story of the first group in the church, those first Christians going out and trying to share the message, only they struggled with who to include. The story today has those circumcised Christians, that is, those who came from the Jewish tradition, looking out and encountering these Gentiles who seem to have something to offer, who seem to have the Holy Spirit among them and struggling to include them. Some of us know what that's like, don't we? Some of us spend our whole lives trying to get our heads wrapped around the fact that people who do not look like us or think like us or vote like us have something to offer. That Republican or Democrat, that person black or white, that person gay or straight, that person male or female, that person young or old, broken or whole, has something to offer us. Don't you see, the Christian circle is called to be wide. It is called to include all, not some, but all. That's what makes it Christian. We don't include all despite being Christian. We include all because we are Christian. Christ's circle is big enough for all. If it's not big enough for all, then Christ is not at the center. We are all a part of the circle, young and old, black and white, gay and straight, male and female, rich and poor, broken and whole, Republican and Democrat, and everyone beyond and between. We're all in this together. In the Christian tradition, there is no us and them, there is only us. As Howard Thurman said, when I go deep enough inside myself, I come up inside all other people. Friends, we're all a part of this. That's what makes the circle perfect. Part of the awakening to the racial injustice we've had over this last year has been a recognition that our circles have been too small. That too often people who look like me don't think about the people who are not outside of their immediate circle. They don't recognize that the harm being done, the harm that they benefit from, whether they asked for it or not, is not Christian. How different would our world be if we actually, especially we as a people of faith, lived like that were true? How different would our immigration policy be? How different would our educational policy be? How different would our criminal justice system be? How different would we respond to things like what are happening right now in India or Myanmar or any place around the world? It makes perfect sense for a nation to have borders. It makes no sense for a Christian. Friends, we are in this together, sink or swim. Who is in your circle? Will our circle be unbroken? That is our hope. If we're all able to do that, friends, the world would be a better place. Jesus came to remind us that we are all in this same circle, to remind us of God's love, and to give us the freedom to share it, to free us from perfection for perfection. And in the end, so long as Christ is at our center, that is, love is at our center, and our arms are wide open, then it won't matter if our circle looks anything like the one Giotto painted that day so many years ago. It will already be perfect. If we could all do that, friends, then pretty soon it would be more than the Pope who stops to marvel at the beauty. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.